Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for joining us for Let Go, Let God Ministries with Reverend Carolyn and Reverend Wayne Anders. You will be blessed with the anointed preaching of these humble servants of God who have a word from the Lord for you today. God bless you as you listen.
Good morning, North Carolina, and to everyone under the sound of my voice all across this great universe. My name is Reverend Sherry Thompson. It's a cold morning here in the Carolinas, and I am so glad to be back with you today. We were in Miami, Florida this past week for my husband Mike's 50th year high school reunion. I want to give a shout out to the class of 1969 from Christopher Columbus School. We had a wonderful time with everyone, and we made new friends. I want to shout out a great big hello to our new friends, Deborah and Bill Filson. We are so glad that God allowed our paths to cross. We look forward to the next reunion, and hopefully it's sooner than later. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this beautiful morning in the Carolinas and all over your wonderful universe. Father, we just give you glory and honor for everything that you're about to do with your word this morning. Anoint me from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. Father, the main purpose here this morning is that truth is spoken, that it's your truth from your word, and that it ministers to people's hearts and it changes their life, and it ministers to the lost that have no hope. Father, we ask you to bless our leaders all over this world, whether it's locally, whether it's statewide, or all over this universe. Father, you have chosen and set them in place. Use them mightily, Father, for your glory and your purpose. Protect their families. Touch and bring forth the great things that I know that are in our president and in his first lady, in the vice president and his family, and in our Congress. Father, use them mightily for your glory, God. You set them in place, Father. They are where they are because you want them there for whatever purpose. We trust your will. We trust your authority, Father, that your perfect will be done in this nation, Father. God, we ask you to bless the first responders, our firefighters, our policemen. God, keep them safe and bring them back home to their families. Touch our military men and women who fight to keep our country free. Bring them safely back home, Father. Father, we just give you all the glory for everything that you're going to do this morning. We ask you, Lord, to save the lost this morning. We ask you, Father, to set free and deliver those who have addictions, no matter what it is, because there is an epidemic in our country. And we ask you to deliver the captive and set them free, no matter if it's pornography, no matter if it's drugs, alcohol, whatever it is, you have the power and authority to free them and deliver them. Father, we just thank you for everything that is about to take place and for this mighty, awesome message that you have given me to share with a lost and dying world. We give you all the glory and all the honor because it belongs to you, Jesus. In your precious holy name we pray. And everybody out there this morning says, amen and amen. Well, the message title this morning is Swimming Upstream Against the World's Current. Now, I recently taught this a few weeks back, and I've had so many requests that we wanted to teach it again. So buckle up your seatbelts. And don't you dare touch that dial. It's a divine appointment for someone this morning. My text is coming from Romans 12 and 2. Now, there are times when we need a new look at a familiar verse. The ESV translates the first part of Romans 12 and 2. It says, Do not be conformed to this world. Simple, but clear and concise. But what exactly does Paul mean? In other words, the translation brings our various shades of meaning. Now, do not act like the sinful people of the world. In other words, do not have a simple lifestyle. That comes from the New Life Translation. In other words, don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Do not be conformed to this world, this age, or be fashioned after, adapted to its external superficial customs. That's from the Amplified Version. And don't copy the behaviors and customs of this world. That comes from the New Living Translation. And then there is the famous rendering by J.B. Phillips. That goes like this. Don't let the world around you squeeze you into its own mold. And this message, I want you to understand some things. And I have two things to share with you. First, I want to examine the little phrase to see what it means. And secondly, I want you to think about how it applies to us today. Now, the general meaning is clear. If we take all of the different translations and paraphrases together, as Christians, as saved people who live for God, we are not to look or act like the people around us. We shouldn't act like them at all. We must not try so hard to fit in that we no longer think and act like Christians. This verse reminds us the world is not morally neutral. It actually works against our Christian faith. Christians are constantly swimming upstream with the current of the world rushing against us. Now, don't be surprised. Don't give in and don't get swept away. I have two wrong in references. Perhaps our greatest danger is to look at this command, which is entirely negative, and draw wrong information from it. Now, just listen for just a moment. Sometimes we can draw the wrong information, but we want to draw the correct information this morning. So please listen intently with your heart. Number one, we might end up thinking that Paul means to warn us only against the external marks of the world. In another generation, preachers applied this verse to the big four sins. Now, I want you to open your hearts right here and just listen, because I'm talking to you about some things that preachers used to preach about, but they really don't, they no longer preach about. But hold on, because I have a point to make here. The four big sins that they used to really talk about was drinking, and which leads to drunkenness, or smoking, or dancing, or even playing cards. And this is the old type of preaching, right? Or it might have been applied to women wearing lipstick, or men with long hair, or listening to certain kinds of music, or going to the movie theater. Well, sometimes the list of don'ts, it becomes so long that a Christian was defined by what you didn't do. While Christianity cannot be reduced to a set of rules, in most cases, the warnings had some basis in fact. Although we don't hear that sort of preaching nowadays, I am not sure that dropping the rules that we used to follow has produced a new wave of holiness. Now, we need to be careful that we don't fall into legalism, because God wants us to enjoy our life and to have freedom. And when we are born again and we are saved, we have the freedom to live for God and to enjoy our life. But we also must remember that God is holy, and the scriptures teaches us he requires that we be godly examples. We want our life to speak to those that have no hope and draw people out of the darkness into God's marvelous light, always, always pointing them back to God. Now, the second thing is we might think Christians should withdraw from the world around us and have nothing to do with it all, at all. This might lead us into a monastery or to some isolated place in the wilderness or into a cave in the desert where we will not be tempted by the bright lights of the big city. But that cannot be what Paul meant, because he ministered in all big cities of his day. Whatever not being conformed to the world means, it can't be a call to run and hide. Now, I have two key words here for you this morning. In this verse, in Romans 12 and 22, it is not giving rules about outward behavior. If it is not calling us to retreat from the world, what exactly is Paul warning us against? Two words unlock this text. The first word is world. The word world does not refer to the ball of dirt that we call earth, as if Paul means to say, don't enjoy the creation God has made. He's not talking about a physical things, such as the beauty of a sunset or grandeur of the Lake Tahoe or the intricate design of a single human cell or the vastness of the universe. Still less, he is speaking of enjoying a concert or conversation with a friend or playing peekaboo with a two-year-old or riding a bicycle across America. Paul does not mean to say, don't enjoy your life. He's not an ascetic who bids us to reject all the beauty and goodness we see around us, nor is he calling us to move away from the troubles of this world, hold up in the compound, or build a fence, or buy a shotgun, or dare anyone to bother us. To the contrary, Paul plunged into the heart of the culture of his day. He focused on the major cities of the first century: Jerusalem, Antioch, Corinth, Athens, Rome, and fiercely entered the synagogues, the marketplace, the literature hall, with the express purpose of proclaiming Christ where he was not yet known. Now, in his first letter to Timothy, he said, everything created by God is good, found in 1 Timothy 4 and 4. Please jot down all scriptures for time's sake, because sometimes I can't read them all because of the time. But then he also added that God richly provides us with everything to enjoy, found in 1 Timothy 6 and 17. Paul eventually knew Greek, Hebrew, Latin, and Aramaic. He read the secular poets and quoted them in the sermons and his letters. He knew the culture of his day so well that he could debate the pagan philosophers on Mars Hill, found in Acts 17, 16, and 34. Now, sometimes we like to sing this old song from the hymns: the world is not my home, I'm just passing through. That's true, but it's not the totality what the Bible teaches. I think Paul would agree with these lines by Moby Bacock, which says, this is my father's world. The birds, their carols raise. The morning light, the lily white, declare their maker's praise. This is my father's world. He shines in all that's fair, in the resting grass, in the rustling things of the world. I hear him pass. He speaks to me everywhere. So then what world is Paul warning us against? The New Testament uses two different words when it talks about the world. One is the word cosmos, from which we get the word cosmetic. That's the word John uses in 1 John 2, 15 through 17, to warn us against loving the world. Now, Dr. Rye defined the world as the organized system headed by Satan that leaves God out. Sometimes a radio announcer will say, here's the news from the world sports. He's not talking about a planet where all they do is play basketball or football or baseball. The world of sports refers to the organized crime of the athletic endeavor. or people may say, here's the news from the world of business. And again, that's not a planet where all they do is buy and sell and invest. The world of business is an organized financial system of buying and selling and investing. There is an organized system headed by Satan that deliberately leaves God out. Christians must not love that evil world system. That's why the Holy Scriptures tell us not to be conformed to the world, but to be transformed by the renewing of our mind by God's word that purifies and sanctifies our heart, our soul, and our spirit man, which is the real person we are. Now, that's very helpful, but Paul didn't use the Greek word cosmos in Romans 12 and 2. He uses the different word aeon, usually translated as age. In the New Testament, there are two main ages. The present age of sinful darkness, found in Ephesians 2 and Galatians 1 and 4, from which we have been rescued by the Lord Jesus Christ. And the age to come when Jesus will reign on the earth, found in Revelations 11 and 15. The text literally reads, don't be conformed to this age. Why? Because this age is coming to an end soon. And when it does, everything about this age will crumble to dust. 5 weeks after the terrorist attack on September the 11th, 2001, I read an article about four men at Ground Zero in Manhattan. Their eyes were fixed on the twisted, smoking ruins of the World Trade Center. As they looked at the rubble, they felt the Lord speak to them as I did when I was reading this article. The gentle voice spoke to my spirit man and said, Sherry, pay attention. This is what the world is coming to. I realized how true it was. This is what happens to everything man builds. Only God, my friends, is eternal. The twin towers seemed invincible, but they weren't, because anything built by man can be destroyed by man. More than that, anything built by man can be destroyed by the hand of God. Read the book of Revelations. In the end, everything comes crumbling down. Here is the paradox and challenge of Romans 12 and 2. We live in this present age, but this present age will not last forever. We know there is a better age to come when Christ will reign on this earth. And we must live today by the values of tomorrow. We must live in the present age, but this present age must not live in us. Now, my precious friends, here's the second word, conform. The word conform, translated a complex Greek word from which we get the English word scheme, which in its negative sense has the idea of a trap. Like those email scams from someone in Nicaragua promising you $10,000 if you just send your bank account number. Right. I don't think so. Now, since the devil is the god of this world, which is found in 2 Corinthians 4 and 4, we should expect him to attack from every angle. After all, my friends, he has been studying us for years and years. He knows our weaknesses, and he knows our strength. And he will attack from any angle that he can. But most of the traps, he says, are meant to seduce us into the world's way of thinking. The present age, the sinful world system, must not live within us as a child of God. The word also means to fashion, which A.T. Robertson offers this version of, do not take the world as your fashion plate. Now, why does Paul say that we are not to follow the fashions of the world? Is this talking about how we dress? Well, that's included, but he's thinking much broader than that. We are not to think or act or otherwise fashion ourselves after the schemes of this age. Why did he say that? The answer is quite simple, my friends. The world is dying. The essence of the worldliness then is to live as if the age will last forever. True worldliness buys into the notion that the world is the only world there is or ever will be. Now, years ago, a certain beer commercial advertised, announced, you only go in life once. Grab all the gusto you can get. Do you remember that commercial? Is that familiar to you? Well, on one level, that happens to be good advice. Life isn't a dress rehearsal. You won't get a second chance or a do-over. If you mess up your short time on this planet Earth, but underlining the commercial was the unstated premise. The world system, the society tells us, this life is the only life there is, so do whatever you want, indulge yourself, throw away all the restraints. This is where we must be careful. We do not have a license to sin. Yet the world says, do whatever you want. There is no right or wrong. This, my friends, is a lie, total deception. Satan always mixes truth with lies. Now, I have friends who flew through Las Vegas on the way to Reno for a Bible conference. As the plane descended into Las Vegas, listen up. Now, let me go back just one step before I finish that story. The reason Satan mixes truth and lies, so you'll be confused. Well, you see, he is the father of lies and the author of confusion. That's why Scripture teaches us to try the spirits to see if they are of God and if what is being said lines up with God's word. That is the reason we have to be very careful. Remember, he's our enemy. He is like a lion, a roaring lion, seeking who he may devour and who he may destroy. Now let's go back to the story of my friends that had flew into Las Vegas. They could see the famous strip with all the casinos lined up next to each other. The MGM Grand, the Mirage, and an apt name for a casino, the Wynn, the Caesar's Palace, and the Stratosphere with its tower rising 1,000 feet above the desert floor. When they got off that plane, they walked through the terminal, and they saw slot machines everywhere. There were huge signs advertising the big stars who were coming to Las Vegas. Now, the other signs inviting them to go to this club and that club, Las Vegas is built on the premises that you can do whatever you want, anytime you want, with whomever you want, because what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. And you can eat more than you should, and you can drink until you're drunk, you can gamble until you're broke, and you can indulge your flesh in every way your mind can possibly imagine. But eventually, business is good because the plane was filled. My friends were telling me it was so filled with the people coming to Sin City to have some fun and maybe get lucky one way or the other. Let me make this clear. I do not say that, and I do not mention that to condemn anyone, not even the people who own those large casinos. They couldn't stay in business if people didn't want what they offer. Las Vegas simply provides an extreme example of what this age is all about. It's the ultimate unvarnished appeal to live as if there were no tomorrow. To live as if there is no word called sin and that people believe there will be no consequences for their lifestyle. That's worldliness for you, right? Living today as if there is no tomorrow. and that it will never come. But according to Revelations 12 and 22, the scripture says when Christ returns to earth for his bride, the church, people who are living for him, he will bring his rewards with him. He will repay people for the way that they have lived their life, whether it's good or whether it's bad. Now, there are paths to glory and there are paths to destruction. My question to you this morning is, what are you choosing? Have you chosen to glorify God with your life? Or are you on a path of destruction? Do anything goes. Well, let me tell you, that end is very ugly. Now, if you think this world will last forever, then live the world's rules. But if you think there is a better world coming, then live today in light of tomorrow. My princess friends, your friends probably won't understand you. And it won't always be easy to live for Christ, and you'll often feel squeezed, but at least you won't wake up with a hangover that comes from getting drunk on the ways of the world. Now, this is why Christian people who love God and serve him have a relationship with him, and they swim upstream against the world's current. They are set apart. They are different. The Bible says that they are peculiar. They live in a relationship with Jesus, not dead religion, which has no power. Dead religion says in 2 Timothy 3 and 5, holding a form of godliness, but having denying the power thereof. From such turn away, they will appear to have a godly life, but there will be no power in their life to change. In other words, they have mentally ascended God's word. His word is in their head, but they have never allowed it to drop to their heart and become divine revelation and apply it as the application to their life. This is how sin takes over people's lives. They have no power to change. If you don't know the word simply says to you that you cannot please God unless you know his word. In other words, if you don't pray, if you don't get in God's word and you don't study it to know his perfect will for your life, you can't please him because you don't know the truth. And only the truth can set you free, and that is through God's word, the Holy Scriptures. Now, some people get drunk on alcohol. Some get drunk on sexual pleasure. Some get drunk on building an empire. Others get drunk on fame. Some get drunk on money. Others get drunk on power. Some get drunk on revenge. That's okay if this age lasts forever. Living that like that makes sense if tomorrow never comes. Why not grab all the gusto, indulge your passions, and trample on others if you really think this present age will never end? And if there is no God or no rules or no regulations, if there is no right or wrong, then just do whatever you want to do. But my friend, I'm here to tell you today, there is a right and wrong. And God is a good father, and he wants you to do everything in life that is awesome and wonderful. He has a perfect plan for your life, and he wants you to hear him, but you can't hear him if you don't know him. And you can't know his word if you don't read it. And you can't really know him if you don't have a personal relationship with him. You know, when you meet someone, what do you do to get to know them? You spend time with them, right? You get to know who they are. But that's all God is asking of you this morning, is get to know who he is. And you can't do that unless you are a praying person and you are a person who loves him and has accepted him as your Lord and Savior, repented of your sins, and you get in the Holy Word, and the Holy Word teaches you The Holy Spirit is the best teacher. He will enlighten you through his word. He will bring the truth to you, and the truth sets the captive free. Woo! Thank you, Lord. What a great message. Lord, you're so powerful. I have to give him the glory because I'm just an instrument. I am just a mouthpiece. He uses me to tell you that he loves you so much and that he wants the very best for you. Well, just think about living any way that you want to, doing anything you want to, and thinking there has no consequences. Well, that's okay if this age lasts forever. But living like that makes sense if tomorrow never comes. Why not grab all the gusto, indulge your passions, and trample on others if you really think this present age will never end? And if there is no regulations, then just do what you want to do. But I'm here to tell you there are regulations. There are consequences if we do not pay attention to what God is saying. He only wants the best. He's a good father, and a good father wants what is best for his children. Those who look to the world for approval will be disappointed because the best things of this world must one day disappear. Those who look to God, who created the world, will find safety and security that will last forever. When we trust God, serve him with all our heart, we grow and we mature in our relationship with him. We walk in faith and in God's perfect will for our lives. This is when we are children of God, for Christ, swimming upstream against the world's current, my friends. Now, I will leave you with this final thought as I'm bringing this message to a conclusion. Christians don't fit in with the world system, and we never will. We are fools if we make conformity to the gold of our life. I ran across a fascinating quote from the legendary shock rocker, Alice Cooper. Though you may not have heard the news, he became a Christian some years ago. Here's the quote I found that he quoted. Drinking beer is easy. Trashing your hotel room is easy. But being a Christian, that's a tough call. That's rebellion. He's right on all accounts. It's a lot easier to get drunk and fool around than it is to follow Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You want to be a true rebel against the status quo because a disciple of Christ makes him the Lord and the Savior of their life. You'll be going against the flow every single day, swimming against the world's current because you want to be the light and the salt of the world that Jesus says that we are. You want to be a living example of Christ. You want to be the one that points others to God and makes a difference. Now, let me say this. Another way, the world has no quarrel with a compromising Christian. The world loves believers who go along to get along. The world rewards Christians who look like everyone else, who talk like everyone else, and who live like everyone else. If you keep quiet about your faith, you can get along just fine because the world loves a compromising Christian. But if you dare, oh my, if you dare to stand up for what you believe, you'll end up like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego from the Bible. You'll be standing while everyone else is kneeling. Nebuchadnezzar won't like you very much. Soon enough, you'll discover how hot the fiery furnace can be. But the good news, my friends, is Jesus is with you in the fiery furnace. That's where he makes himself known. You'll never regret standing up for Jesus Christ, but It won't be easy. But just know this, you're not alone. God is always with you. And where there is a way of escape, God's there to make it for you. My question for you today is, who are you really? Who wants to be a renegade for the Lord? Who wants to swim upstream against the world's current? Who wants to go against the flow? Let's talk about this, and we're ending the message. The true alternative lifestyle, as I bring the conclusion of this mission, maybe you've heard of the name David Wise. At the Winter Olympics in 2014, he won the gold medal for freestyle skiing in the half-pipe competition. He earned a second gold medal in the same event in 2018 when he was only 29 years old at the time and married and has a daughter and a son. He's also a Christian. There are Christians in different denominations, my friends. Don't get me wrong. After winning this first gold medal in 2014, NBC reporter Skylar Wilder wrote, "David Wise is at the top of his sport. He always is smiling among his friends and competitors. However, he's not like the rest of the field. He is mature." My precious friends, following Christ is the ultimate alternative lifestyle. The profile here, it's describing David Wise this way. At such a young age, Wise has the lifestyle of an adult. He wears a baby carrier around him in his house. He also attends church regularly and says he could see himself becoming a pastor a little later down the road. Now, NBC posted the article with this headline, "David Wise's Alternative Lifestyle Leads to an Olympic Goal." You see, when you follow God, good things follow you. Did you hear what I just said? When you follow God and you're true to his word, good things find you. Did you get that? Alternative lifestyle? Today, that's usually referred to something else, but it perfectly fits Romans 12 and 2. Following Christ is the ultimate alternative lifestyle. We're not like the world. We will never be like the world, and we were never like the world. God calls us to be set apart so others will see Jesus in our life. They'll know that we're different by our love for one another. They'll know we're different because our lifestyle does not fit in with the world. Yes, we're different. Yes, we're peculiar. Some even call us weird. But hey, I don't mind being called weird when I know that my eternal home is heaven. I will get to see the person that I have been living for since I was 19 years old. One day, when my journey is over on this earth, I'll stand before him. And his reward will be right there for me. He will either say to all of us when we come to the end of our journey here on this earth, "Come in, my faithful child. Are you workers of iniquity? I never knew you." I know where I stand with God. I know my house is in order. And I know when my journey here is all over on this earth, that my Heavenly Father will welcome me in. And that's why I'm doing what I'm doing today, because I want you to have rewards. I want you to be able to go to heaven. I want you to know the truth, because the truth can set you free, and it can set you on a path that will change your life forever. You will discover things that you never knew, because God will begin to reveal these things to you and open your mind and your spirit to the plan, the perfect plan that he's always had for your life. Some of us need to get our priorities straight, because we're fitting in when we need to be standing out. We're going with the flow when we ought to be swimming upstream. How will we overcome our addictions to this dying world? Well, in 1918, Helen Hayworth wrote these words, "Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full into his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace." Now, in the words that you'll desire the things of God and not the things of the world, when you really know him as Savior and Lord, and you have a relationship with him. Here's the answer. We need a new vision of Christ to set us free from the love of the world. Our evangelical ancestors understood this truth very well. They boiled it down to two very simple sentences. Here's my whole message in a simple couplet. Christians swimming upstream against the world's current, you draw near to God, and God will draw near to you, and you will mature in your relationship with him. You'll become driven by eternity and not this world. You'll walk out your faith in God's will for your life, and when your earthly journey is complete, you will be the one who made the difference. You are a God pleaser and not a man pleaser. Only one life till soon be past, my friends. Only what's done for Christ will eternally last. This world is passing away. Don't be swept away with it. Keep swimming upstream with Jesus. This is what I pray for you, to your Heavenly Father today. Oh, gracious Heavenly Father, sometimes we get weary swimming against the tide. Sometimes we feel overwhelmed by the power of this world around us. We're seduced, we're squeezed, and sometimes we give in. Open our eyes, Lord. Do whatever it takes to break our addiction to this dying world and replace it with fervent love for you. In Jesus' precious holy name, I pray. I'm so glad that you taken the time to join us today. I pray that you'll join us the next time. I want to give you an opportunity this morning to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, to accept him. If you're a carnal Christian, or if you've just walked away from him or strayed away for a little while, the door is open for you this morning. Or if you've lost and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, please pray with me this simple prayer this morning that will set your life on a brand new course. Repeat the sinner's prayer with me this morning. Most gracious Heavenly Father, I come before you this morning. I recognize that I am a sinner, lost and undone without a Savior. Father, forgive me for my sins. Wash me and cleanse me. Make me as white as snow. And for those that are carnal Christians, repent of your sins and just say, Father, forgive me. Help me to be everything that you created me to be, because God is married to the backslider. He's married to the one that's gone astray. So, Lord, help me. Set me free. Turn me around. Thank you, God, for hearing my prayer and for honoring it, for saving me, for changing my life. For now I realize I will walk in your perfect will, and I, too, can make a difference. Thank you, Father, for taking the time to love me that much, for dying on the cross for me so many years ago, for rising from the dead, to make a way for eternal life for me. If you just prayed that prayer this morning, I welcome you to the family of God, because right now, on your behalf, he is having a party in heaven with the angels. So remember this, God loves you so much. His favor is with you. He is for you and never against you. My precious friends, victory is yours today. God has given you the power to swim upstream against the world's current. God bless you. Love you so much. Please share the gospel with your friends and family, because you'll be spreading the gospel with a lost and dying world. God bless you until we meet again.